Before we start off this episode, huge thanks to Podcorn for sponsoring Wrestling Soup. If you host and run a podcast, you can find and explore sponsorship and monetizing opportunities by signing up at podcorn.com/podcasters.
Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience.
What?
We like to use naughty words.
Hell yeah.
Oh no, not these guys. No.
You are listening to Wrestling Soup, motherfuckers.
Oh, you wanna bet you off right now?
Wrestling Soup. I'm Anthony Missionary Thomas, joined along with E. Kevin Castle.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much, man. It's been a hell of a week. Getting colder and colder and colder, and everything's turning to ice. It literally looks like there's just glass all around us around here, man.
You know, I feed the cat colony a couple of times a day, and I've had to go there more often to put out water, and I put it out, like, hot. Yeah. So it, like, cools off. I go back in 2 hours, it's frozen. Jesus. So, yeah, this is the time of the season.
It really is. I'm looking forward to it finally warming up in the nice 20s. So.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow it's supposed to be 34 here, so we're really excited about that.
Time to put on the bathing suit and go outside for a tan. Jesus.
I got my, the suntan lotion, the famous one?
Oh.
Copper tone.
Yeah,
copper tone.
A little copper
tone. Got my copper tone. I'm ready to go.
Do you put the sunscreen lotion on your nose, too? Are you a nose guy?
I've never actually done that. I've actually had a burnt nose, and it looks so horrible when you have that.
Oh, yeah.
You have, like, a red nose from the sun.
Like you've been drinking
it takes
all
a couple
day.
Of days to go away. It's the Rudolph the red-nose reindeer effect.
But we're in January. Wrestling is starting to amp up again. I mean, there's been some good stuff that's happened over the last week or so. I mean, we had a really fantastic Raw last night, which was nice. You know, SmackDown was good. Rampage was decent. Dynamite did well. Tony Khan was out there praising the fans for helping to bring in AEW on TBS with good ratings, which I thought was kind of like double-sorted anyways. Obviously, he had his meltdown earlier in the month at Fox because of them talking about, you know, their ratings are going down and stuff like that, to which, you know, reasonable people like myself, like you, openly said, hey, Tony, it's Christmas. People aren't watching much of anything unless it's Christmas shows or they're out shopping or they're out with their families. Like December has always been kind of a month that WWE and even Impact has always kind of suffered with because people understand that they're out doing the family thing. December is the month for families,
but January is time for change. If you host a podcast, then Podcorn might be the change you need. So, Mish, what the hell is Podcorn? Well, simply put, Podcorn is a platform which connects sponsors and podcasts together. Podcorn is a marketplace that connects you to amazing sponsorship opportunities. Everything from host reads and interview segments, topical discussions, and even more. Within Podcorn, there's no middleman, nobody else you have to deal with. Podcasts of all sizes, whether you're a fledgling startup or an absolute behemoth, you can just browse and choose your very own opportunities right on the Podcorn platform. You can set your own price rates, and they even help guide you as to what ranges to ask for. You don't have to give up any rights to your podcast, which is really important. But the real benefit here is that you have an entire list of sponsors looking to hook up with your shows, and you can monetize whichever opportunities you want. And Podcorn is actually there to offer support and help every step of the way, not only to ensure you're protected, but to make sure that you're compensated for your work and for what you do for brands, which is a necessity for a smaller show. As a smaller show, you really need to find ways in order to curb some of the costs of podcasting. Believe me, I've been podcasting for over 12 years within just Wrestling Soup alone. Anything to help supplement costs, your time, your show hosting, your website, your domains, and everything else that comes along, all the little fees that come with running a successful podcast. Podcorn is here to give you an opportunity to make some ching and get something back for it. So make sure you check out the link in our show description and sign up to Podcorn and start browsing sponsorship opportunities right away.
you know?
Yeah, January is always, even in my profession and a lot of professions, you know, in the entertainment field, bands, live music, shows, even ball games and stuff, even if you're going to a game indoors, it's not a big month to go out. It really isn't. It's kind of a lay low. The earth cools after the holidays month.
Yeah.
And then February really picks it back up. It's always mid-February. It's around the Valentine's Day that people feel like going out again, because most people go out for dinner on Valentine's Day.
Sure.
And then it's a short month, and then here comes March.
You got St. Paddy's Day coming around after that.
Yeah. Once you get past St. Valentine's Day, you're already projecting spring. You're already looking ahead. And that's how we are in our business. January is that long 31 days of any snowstorm can hit. And listen, it can snow in February too, but January is always that month. And that's what we're telling ourselves now in this down period that would happen. I told you.
Well, and not only that, Kev, but January is a month that nobody has any fucking money.
Yeah,
so everybody's going to sit at home and watch television. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. We know this, but for some reason, once it's upon us, and the same thing, we act like first day with the new hands in this business. Like, you know, everyone's like, wow, what's going on? Even without COVID, it wouldn't have been that great. That's right, what I tell people. Right. It still would have been kind of sporadic. But, yeah, just get past this month, get mid-February, and then you can kind of look to the spring. And obviously, COVID is always less effective in the warmer weather, and people are outside and fresh air. So that's really the outlook for people for spring right now, too, is, I can't wait for March or April, because a lot of people are not able to do stuff now because of COVID in the winter and everyone getting sick with other things besides COVID. By the way, there are still the traditional cold and flu, which I know a lot of people have right now.
Right. Well, and not only that, over the weekend, too, we also had a little bit of Hard to Kill. 2022 pay-per-view results from Impact and the ROH kind of crossover. It took place at the Bomb Factory in Dallas, Texas. Jake Something defeated Madman Fulton in the pre-show. I didn't see that.
I didn't see that much.
Speedball Mike Bailey defeated Chris Bay, which was okay. Laredo Kid in Austin, Ace Austin in a four-way match in the pre-show. Tasha Steeles defeated Rosemary, Chelsea Green, Lady Frost, Jordan Grace, and Alicia Edwards in an Ultimate X match for the number one contender to the Knockouts title. Trey Miguel defeated Steve McClain to retain the X Division. Jonathan Gresham defeated Chris Sabin to retain the ROH World title, which was actually a really good match. I did enjoy watching Gresham and Sabin go at it. That was pretty good. Josh Alexander defeated Jonah, which kind of I gave props to Jonah, obviously, wearing the one-man gang gear with the big skull singlet on, or what are they called?
Yeah, I totally got that. And I saw when you posted that, too, and people like, I'm like, yeah, one man gang. Well, that's old school one man gang.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, I fucking loved it too. And it was like a fresh take on the old man, on the old one man gang type too. So.
Absolutely, yeah. It's too bad he's not one man gang's not on Twitter. We could have tagged him.
I know, fuck. Yeah. But no, I do love Jonah. So that was a good match. It was, you know, well received. I just wish Jonah won it. Eddie Edwards, Rich Swann, Willie Mack, Heath, and Rhino defeated Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, Eric Young, Diener, and Joe Doring in a hardcore war match, which was just basically a war games match without the cage.
Exactly.
Moose defeated Matt Cardona and Morrissey to retain the Impact World title. And then the main event, which surprised me that it was the main event, but it was really good. Mickey James defeating Deonna Purrazzo in a Texas death match to retain the Impact Knockouts title. More than a few times, both girls were bloody towards the end, which was kind of interesting because neither of those girls usually get bloody.
I've never seen either one. Mickey James, 15 years, I've never seen her get bloody.
Right. It's been a while. And the only time I've seen her ever get bloody, I think I've seen her before in Impact get bloody once. And then obviously the very famous match that she had against Trish Stratus where she was bleeding.
Right.
But for the most part, she's not one of those girls that sprout open. So it was kind of cool to watch that. I enjoyed the chair spot, which was funny, them just throwing more and more and more chairs in the ring, and here you had the ref running around back and forth trying not to get pegged. You know, there was some good shit in there.
Was it me though, or was the crowd kind of quiet? Like the crowd wasn't as boisterous as I thought it would be. During that match, was that me? Like, I just didn't think it was that. Like, I just thought it would be a little bit more. They'd be more into it, especially in Texas.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, did you find that at all? Like with some of those matches that you saw?
Some of the matches, yeah. But I mean, we're also talking about a much smaller audience to begin
with. Oh, no, I got it. But I guess because even like, you know, back in the old days, ECW, they could be a scarce one. They'd still make so much noise as a small crowd. So I guess, yeah. And it's kind of the modern thing. You know, the crowds aren't. AEW has some loud crowds. I'll give them credit for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because last night, Raw got accused of putting Philly to sleep. A lot of people were claiming that Philly wasn't into it. I think they were into some of the matches. I think it was a little exaggeration. But, you know, maybe it's just the winter. People don't feel like going crazy.
Well, I think people are still suffering, though, too. It's a weird – like I said, it's been a weird few weeks. It's been a weird couple of months. Yeah. I mean, on one hand, you got everybody getting sick half the time. Now we're all recovering from Christmas. Now we're all fucking broke and we're at shows and stuff. And I'm honestly, you know, I really thought that Raw did pretty well. I thought the Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley stuff was fucking amazing.
Oh, that was awesome. That opening segment was fantastic.
Yeah, dude. And I even enjoyed it at the end with fucking Doudrop winning. And now we got Doudrop versus fucking Becky for the title. And I was like, oh, wow. I was not expecting Doudrop to win that. I don't know. I just was in a small camp that she was going to be the company's punchline. But
serious. And what do you think about, like, and I don't even know if it is a tribute to him or even if it was even had him in mind. But everyone's saying they like the Yokozuna thing that she did with the bonsai drop.
Oh,
I don't know if she would take that as a compliment. Like, you know how people were saying it, like, and kind of, I'm not really trying to insult her or anything, but I don't think she wants to be known as the female Yokozuna. And second of all, she's not that big.
No, but I mean, you know what?
From what I saw, you know.
I think she's one of those girls that roll with it.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, if someone said, oh, you're like Yokozuna, like, you think she wouldn't be like Yokozuna?
I don't think, I do. I don't think every single girl is really ashamed of their weight and stuff like that. I don't think.
Oh, I know she's a big girl, but Yokozuna was 600 pounds.
But
you know?
Yokozuna was also beloved. I mean, he was a spectacle in WWE. I always like, Jesus Christ, that dude was fucking huge. He was
for his size. Yeah, he was good for his size.
Right? Absolutely. You'd be surprised if a guy that size can even walk 10 steps, let alone have a 10-minute match with Bret Hart. You know?
Oh no, it's true. But what do you think is going on here with Doudrop? Do you think it's kind of a political move to maybe show, put a big girl in there and say, you know, since she can work? And listen, back in the day, they pushed Monster Ripper, who was Bertha Faye.
Sure.
So WWE has done this before.
Amazing Kong did it. I mean, Naya, but Naya.
Yeah, WWE's done this before. Yeah, they've done this before. It's not like they haven't. That they've pushed big girls before. She has much more ability than Nia Jax does.
Oh, tremendously, yes.
You know, so what do you think is happening? And is there a baby face in this? Because obviously Becky slapped her in the face, and then I thought they were going to shake hands and hug, as a matter of fact. When they got in the ring, I'm like, oh, it's a Celtic thing.
Right.
They're from Ireland. Do you think there could still be a swerve like that, Mish, where Becky winds up palling around with her?
If anything, if you want to look at it in that light, I could see Doudrop getting Becky's respect. You know what I mean? Maybe not necessarily buds, but if you can get a respect like a Charlotte or a Sasha, I think that carries a lot of weight too. You know, obviously, no pun intended, but exactly. I really do think that Doudrop is a fucking fantastic wrestler. And the one thing I'm really looking forward to, and I even kind of explained this to DT the other day, is that, you know, it's funny when you look at some of her past opponents where Doudrop has had like kind of matches. It's always people that you know can't take a punch or don't want to take a punch. Right. We know for a fact Becky has no problem giving as much as she has receiving. So I can only see that if you unchain Doudrop or, you know, Piper Niven, if you unchain her and put her in a match with somebody who's capable and willing to give as much as she gets, I think we're going to have a fucking crazy good match. Like, I'm not a big fan of hyping up what's going to happen, especially when it comes to the women's division, especially lately. But I think that this, you know, Doudrop versus Becky Lynch might be fucking great.
It could be. I mean, you know, Becky Lynch to me looks a lot smaller. She's probably as thin as I've ever seen her.
Yeah.
I mean, she really looks tiny. And when Doudrop is literally twice her size, literally.
Sure.
I would say her weight and her height. So that's a big girl. And I would say Doudrop is what, maybe 8 years younger than Becky, definitely younger.
I'm
wondering if Becky can kind of move her around, because Becky's never been a power girl. You know, Charlotte's got some power. Charlotte could probably slam Doudrop. I don't think Becky can.
I don't think Becky should, though. Becky's more of a striker, And then, you know, and then she has some technical moments, but
right.
you want Becky to go out there and have a street fight with Doudrop. You don't want them to have like some technical competition like Benoit and Dean Malenko. You know, you want to see two of these last kickers going out there and just slugging the shit out of each other until somebody fucking drops. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm not looking at this contest as being some kind of wrestling spectacle. I don't even want it to be considered that. I want it to go out there.
Even though
Piper
can wrestle.
Yeah. Oh, they both can. They both can fucking wrestle. It's just, I don't want that. I think that when you have two fiery people in there and, you know, let's be honest, stereotypes play a role in this match, you know?
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Like two kind of hotheads. Right. You know? The Irish thing will play into effect. I'm sure they're going to hype that up too. And being half Irish, I can appreciate
Scottish.
That.
Yeah.
So no, I think it's going to be a good match. I don't think it's anything. Hey, listen, you know, certain things have to be altered. Obviously, on the other side of the spectrum, Sasha Banks is out.
She
won't be in the Royal Rumble, so they'll make and do what. And it's pushing new people. Isn't that what people wanted?
It is. It really is. Yeah. And it's like it's part of the direction that WWE has been going lately. And then on that other side, now too, people are still freaking out about the fact that all the people that were let go from staff. Obviously bigger names being like Road Dogg and bigger names being William Regal being pushed out of NXT, with the joke being Shawn Michaels is the last Triple H guy that was down there. But it's kind of funny because I see all these news sites posting all about this stuff, saying that this is like, you know, presumed the end of NXT and everything else like that. But Nick Khan told us all this back during SummerSlam.
You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
I believe I want a big bowl of wrestling soup.
This is the world you've made yourself. Now you have to live in it.
Let me play the NXT clip real quick. This was from Nick Khan and Ariel Helwani.
Okay.
BT Sport, August 22nd, 2021. Ariel Helwani interviews Nick Khan.
How would you describe the current state of NXT? That seems to be a topic that is making people nervous. What's going on with NXT?
We're doing a complete revamp on NXT, led by Triple H, Paul Levesque, who was really one of the architects of the original NXT. So we want our system to be an easy system where people who want to be superstars, they know how to get to us and we can get to them. In terms of an NXT rebrand, look for it. It's going to have a whole new look. It's going to have a whole new feel. And we believe, because a lot of the indie wrestlers, if you will, have come through our system and are in our system with SmackDown and Raw now, we don't want to just keep doing that same thing. We want to look elsewhere for great young talent.
Look, feel, what do you mean? Like new setting?
The look of the show, the production of the show, everything's going to change.
Okay.
So, I mean, right there, Nick Khan says, I mean, towards the end, Ariel's like, well, what do you mean? Just the look of the show? And Nick's like, no, the look, the production, everything. Everything's going to change. And here's the crazy thing, too, is since he openly stated this is Triple H's ideas, I wonder how much of that's true. In that, I mean, Triple H knew that these removals of staff were going to happen. You know, we talked about it for a while that WWE was going through a complete rebranding from Nick Khan and everybody else, that there was this dais and they were looking at every single aspect of the company and they were going to change it. So now while people are trying to say that WWE is falling apart and everything else like that, not if it's all going according to plan.
Yeah, I think people will only hear what they want to hear sometimes. And I think they just kind of maybe blew off Nick Khan to a degree. I mean, obviously you didn't, we didn't, Anthony didn't, other podcasters, but a lot of the general populace of the wrestling community, it was like the colors are no, a complete overhaul as in gutting it like we've seen other companies do and sports franchises do. And I talked about this of people who are older fans in middle age. How do they not know a house cleaning? We know the term from sports when they fire a general manager of a base. Look at the Chicago Cubs.
The Bears did that too.
They gave up. That we're not going to win this season. We got to revamp the thing. Get rid of this one. Then he's going to go, and in turn, he'll go, and she'll go.
Yep.
People act shocked. I've never seen anything like this before. in life or right. in wrestling. Like, I've seen this before.
It's happened in wrestling and life many times.
Yes, it's happened many times. I mean, this is a known thing when a GM or a head manager or someone, even in schools, in school systems, when the principal leaves, the sometimes the VP doesn't get brought up. They get rid of everybody and they bring in a whole new staff.
Right.
You know, so this happens in life. And people just want it to be so salacious, and they want there to be Vince is just trying to kill Trip. I really don't think he's trying to kill his
son. Not at all. I think that's just weird fantasy you know, just wishing things would happen. I think that's a lot of just fandom gone wrong. You know, Mike Johnson, even earlier yesterday, I believe, maybe it was even earlier today, was saying that NXT is now not going to be considered a separate entity from the rest of WWE. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, once again, Nick Khan told us all this shit back when he was in Vegas in August. He literally said, he's like, it's me, it's Bruce Pritchard, it's Vince, it's Paul Levesque, it's Stephanie. We're all there together. And he's like, it's a complete dais. And that's where we're going forward. Ariel Helwani even brought up, and it's weird that I have to recite this months and months later, even after we've talked about it. But it's almost like people are regurgitating this news like it's brand new. And it's like, no, they openly, WWE, for as closed off as a company as they are, Kev, it was one of the first times that they allowed Nick Khan not only to openly talk about this, and he was on other podcasts too, but with Ariel Helwani, you know, you're getting a fucking deeper story, but he came forward and addressed all of this and said, no, we are forward-minded. You can compare WWE to a horse with blinders on. And he's like, why do you put blinders on a horse? Because you don't want them to look around and see what the other horses are doing, because they're going to trip and fall and break their neck. So he's like, all we care about is the future and our current product, and that's it. We're not looking at anything. And even when it came to talking about what WWE is going to do, if they're going to sell.
And you mentioned that, you know, we're open for business. You know, I take calls. I'm not actively pursuing anything. I take calls. And the theory is they want to sell. They want to sell. What does open for business mean?
Couple things on it. Number one, when I say we're open for business, that means if someone credible calls on anything, NFT, trading cards, international rights, we take the call. We're inherently salespeople, meaning we're not sort of like, no, we don't want to talk to this company because we think they're X. If you call and you want to pitch us something and you're a credible company, we're going to hear the pitch, right? We're an entrepreneurial company that Vince and others built over the last 35 years or so. If somebody calls, credible, asking, hey, are you guys for sale? It's what's your offer? What are you thinking? We're not trying to sell it. That's not our intent. There are no internal meetings about selling this company. The internal meetings about growing it and the ability that we think we collectively have to tremendously grow what the value of the company is now.
Is anyone calling right now about buying it?
Look, people call all the time about all different things, but we're not in any active conversations about any of that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I listened to him say that during the original interview. And I knew what he meant by that. And that doesn't mean that they're definitely selling, but doesn't mean that they're not. I don't think it's a smoke and mirrors answer. I think it's actually a pretty honest answer.
Yeah. You know, because
it's true. We're open to listening to anything. That would be like someone saying to you, Mish, you know, as much as you love Wrestling Soup, would you consider an offer from NBC affiliate in Chicago to be their weather guy?
Right.
If it's a great offer, I'm being serious. Like if, you know, we think you could do it. You have to entertain all things, you know, as anybody with smart business sense would do, checks and balances and see what works best for you. You can't turn, oh, no, I'm a lifer. You're only a lifer when you're behind bars. Listen, I say I'm a lifer too in my industry, but notice I work for different clubs over the years.
Right.
You know, if I'm not happy, the last one is still going to be around. I went to another one. It was a better situation for me. Not at the moment, but that's not their fault.
Right.
But again, I jumped ship myself after thinking I was going to be at that Queen's place for years. I was there and clocked in 9 years there. I was going to be there forever. But a lot of things change. And again, I would have been short-sighted and stupid and hurting myself to not listen to offers. So, and that's small potatoes. When you're talking about a big company like this, do I personally think Vince is going to sell? Not while he's alive. I don't believe
he is. No, and I think that they don't want to. I think I really do believe, you know, I did believe when Nick Khan said that we're focused on growing the company, that we're into, you know, when he was talking about international marketing and stuff like that, he brought up another fact and figure. Apparently, when they did some kind of like a house show in India during COVID, they had 5.5 times the amount of viewership and income coming from that one house show versus anything that was being done in America. So when we constantly see the Crown Jewel coming up, which is another thing we can easily talk about here in February, you got the Crown Jewel coming up and you have more and more international shows coming up. It's because apparently there's a lot more money overseas than right now in the States.
True.
So of course, as a guy who's working within WWE to try and maximize profits in every single facet and every category, why wouldn't they focus on things outside of the American product? So, excuse me. So when I think that, you know, when I hear people saying that WWE is going to sell, they're falling apart. Look what they're doing in NXT. Look at all the people that they fired. They fired William Regal. How could they ever get rid of that? Because for whatever reasons that were put in place. And once again, by Triple H's own hands, according to Nick Khan, these were all plans that were put into place a while ago in order to maximize everything. You know, when he started describing WWE and Vince McMahon as an entrepreneur and he describes himself and everybody else working with him as salesmen, that's exactly what I got. That's why they're constantly breaking their own records for profits. It seems like almost every year they're breaking their own records for profits, which is fantastic, especially when you think that our entire country's in a recession.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, people are like, well, they got plenty of money. Why are they releasing people? But if you notice, they're hiring other people too.
Yes.
You know, there's new hires. Well, one particular girl I want to bring up, did you get a chance to see some of the clips on her? I'm so impressed by her, that Nikita Lyons girl.
Yeah,
that
I did.
Norchuk, so my, wow, was she impressive. Shout out to Johnny who hipped me about her and sent me a bunch of clips. I had heard about her. She, you know, won that tryout spot and then got it in Vegas. Speaking of Vegas, it was during that SummerSlam thing when they had an open tryout. Well, they had certain picks, select picks, and then if they would get picked to go to NXT, and she was one of the few. And she's really impressive. I mean, very impressive.
Well, did you take a look at some of the, you know? Did you take a look? I mean, because WWE is also doing that NIL program, and they've already got 15 people. So, I mean, they got Carlos Aviles, who's an Ohio State track and field guy, 6'6", 305 pounds, which is really wild that a track and field dude is that big and that tall.
Track and field guy, 300 pounds.
Yeah, 6'6", 300 pounds. That's a big boy.
Wow, that's a big boy.
Haley Cavender, Fresno State. Hannah Cavender, Fresno State. They're both basketball players at 5'6". Those are the twins that we saw.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw a picture of them.
Yeah, okay. And they're very pretty. So,
very cute.
AJ Ferrari, cute. Oklahoma State, wrestling, 6 foot, 200 pounds. Lexi Gordon, Duke, basketball, 6 feet tall. That's tall for a girl, too, 6 foot girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Aaliyah Hutchins, Wake Forest, track and field, 5'5". John Cron, Portland State football, 7'4". 7 foot, 400 pounds. Sorry.
7 foot, 4. Yeah, wow.
Football. Big football boy.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Right. And these are the investments that WWE are doing. Dude, when we brought up this NIL thing, people kind of scoffed at it. And now that I'm looking at, like, you know, height and weight and who these people are, I'm like, WWE sees shit that I can easily see too. Yeah, obviously, you can see too. Glenn Logan, LSU, football, 6'5", 305. Isaac Ode Ugbinson, Alabama, track and field, 6'4", 275. Mason Paris, Michigan, wrestling, 6'2", 275. Masai Russell, Kentucky, track and field, 5'5". John Seaton, Elon, football, 6'1", 285. Joe Spivak, Northwestern, all right, Illinois, football, 6 foot, 300 pounds. Dalton Wagner, Arkansas, football, 6'9". 330 pounds. Remember, these are all kids. These are all college kids. Riley White, Alabama, track and field, 5'6". So it's like they're picking up their crop. Are all of these people going to make it? No.
No, but I think, you know, the track and field, I think, is the Bianca Belair effect because of how well she's worked out. You know, maybe she even had a little bit of input on that, maybe. You know, because she's known for that. That's her thing, her forte. And they're like, you know, maybe we can get another girl like this who's such a super athlete. And as far as the other big boys go, well, they're keeping that thing with larger than life personalities and characters. And it's funny, Mission, you see this too, where not just podcasters, but fans, and fans who are pretty smart fans will be like, I don't get it, though. Then why'd they let go all this other talent if they're bringing in new ones? May I drop the ball on everybody here pull the curtain down? They didn't see anything in a lot of people that they let go. Yeah. They did try, and they didn't think that they can get anywhere, so they had to go to new people. That's what they do. That's like when someone gets an acting gig and doesn't get another one. They saw him in that performance in that movie they did. Weren't that impressed.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem, though. Those
people
fans,
don't like to hear that, though, Mitch. They don't like to hear that.
But it's because those fans can see value in the people that WWE let go.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. But sometimes they make the right call. They make the right call.
I try to also explain that just because you can see the value doesn't mean that WWE sees the same value.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Just because we can imagine Cross and Scarlett just destroying WWE right now and having a fantastic run doesn't mean that the people in creative, doesn't mean that the people that are running WWE have those same visions with them. And maybe even if they did have those same visions that we do, they can't figure out a way to make it work on that level. So it's like, I don't necessarily take all of these releases to heart. Don't get me wrong. You would think that guys like Regal and guys like Road Dogg would have stayed there indefinitely just because of how much they meant to the company. But at the end of the day, it's not a personal decision. It's a business one. Nobody's going up to Regal and saying, get the fuck out, you bum. Well, you know, look,
once they released Gerald Briscoe, who was 30 years in, anybody was game.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way I look at it. You know, now he's doing the podcast with Bradshaw, and he doesn't seem to be bitter about it.
No.
I've watched the show. It's actually a pretty good podcast, and they have a very good chemistry together. And Briscoe's just like, and he's in his mid-70s, retired. Now, you could say, well, you know, Road Dogg and them, you know, much younger, could have probably given more years to the company. They wanted to make a change. And both of those guys had a great run, and everything just comes to an end. I think I've accepted that too in a lot of things that look, my God, how many things have I been part of that came to an end, either abruptly in podcasting or even in my club career. I never envisioned I wouldn't be at the Queen's Place anymore.
Yeah.
But you just don't know what's going to happen, and you just got to accept it. Just sit there and dwell and go, I've done the same thing. But once you realize that it's just a bunch of, you know, bitterness that you just got to get out. It's best to get it out right away and just move on. And I would be very surprised if Road Dogg or Regal trashed the WWE. They did a lot for them. And they both did a lot for each other, I think, especially for Road Dogg.
And I think they're fine with it. I mean, honestly, they understand.
So, yeah.
It's not like they're being kicked out of the barbecue. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, not at all. I think people want to make like that.
Yeah, they want to romanticize it in a bad. They want to dramatize it, not romanticize. They want to dramatize everything where, you know, Road Dogg, what's he going to do now? He's retired from wrestling. He has nothing to do. It's like, oh my God, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Him and his superstar family will be just fine.
I wonder if they gave him the same brand trash bag that they gave Mickey James.
Well, if that's the case, then he might end up in the Royal Rumble too then. Kev, you know,
he could end up in the Royal Rumble. You know, listen, it's funny that people will say, and you've been accused of this, I've been, Lord Anthony has over his years,
sure,
of being like fanboys of WWE or not taking them to task, but we've taken them to task plenty of times.
For years.
And also, I think if there's just one narrative, WWE bad, and you hear that everywhere, what is that? You got to kind of give both sides of the spectrum. I mean, no matter what the thing is, that's why we have juries of our peers, and we have a defense lawyer and, you know, and an attorney for both sides. You got to check some balances and weigh things. You can't just everybody wants to convict, basically, Mitch.
Oh, yeah.
Convict.
Yeah.
Conviction.
Wrestling Soup will be right back.
Might as well bring it up. Mickie James, obviously the big name, really going back into the Women's Royal Rumble. They talked about it on SmackDown. They re-brought it up on Raw. Obviously, she's also Impact, she's Knockouts champion. And to be fair, WWE, Don Tony was right. WWE didn't acknowledge her Impact run. They didn't acknowledge her championship. That was Pat McAfee, Pat works on his own speed sometimes. Pat has a little bit of a loose lips kind of thing going with WWE. They love him to death, but I guarantee you he probably got a little bit of a an earful when he got into the back about that, because
that's interesting. I didn't, Anthony brought that up. That's actually a pretty good catch, because I didn't see anybody bring that up. And I've saw quite a few people talk on this subject. That's interesting. I didn't even think about that. That Pat went rogue, basically.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it. Now, again, it's a not sure.
It's not, though, because he did the same thing. And here's where I'm going to add to it. He did the same thing with Adam Cole. When Adam Cole went into AEW, granted, he didn't do it directly on WWE television. He did go on his podcast and completely put over Adam Cole in AEW. You know, again, you know, obviously with, you know, with not WWE's best interests at heart. And he did it in a joking way where he was, I'm pissed off that Adam Cole left the company. How dare he get a better job for more money, working less dates in another. How dare it was funny.
Right.
But everybody knew exactly what he meant. And it was one of those cases where it's like, Pat, you're kind of working against your, you know, your own company on this one. I understand that he's your friend. It's not beneath Pat at this point, at least in my opinion, for him to kind of go rogue a little bit here and there, you know, and that's what makes him fun. Honestly, I think that's one of the best things about Pat. He kind of has that Samoa Joe thing. And there's another guy who was released that, you know, a lot of us thought, dude, even if he never got back in the ring, even if they just wanted to put a mic in front of his face, this guy is good enough to be a color commentator on any show that WWE has. So
he was released twice in one year.
I know.
Jeez. That's I've never seen that before, actually.
Thank God he didn't have a house there, huh? Fuck.
Oh, good Lord. But yeah, that's a good catch by Don Tony. That I didn't even think about that Pat McAfee just went into kind of business for himself to a degree. That could be the case, because they certainly didn't mention it yesterday that she was from Impact. So that's good catch.
Let me ask you something though, with this whole thing. And I mean, I guess this is where the bread and the butter kind of go. Obviously WWE is very aware that she's not only the champion, but she's also working for a rival promotion. Do you think that her being invited to go to the Royal Rumble is kind of cause this is how I feel about it. I think that WWE is trying to be nice. You know, I think they're giving her a date to come into the WWE, make a couple of shekels, you know, because of the Mark Carano garbage bag thing didn't sit well with a lot of people. Do you think that this is just WWE's way to be nice? Or do you think that there might be something more behind this that we don't know about?
I think it's a combination of both. And I think there might be something to her possibly going into the Hall of Fame down the road. And I know she probably want to. Most wrestlers want to go into the Hall of Fame, I think. Only depending on which year it is, Superstar Billy Graham wants to be out of the Hall of Fame. but now he's back in good with the WWE, from what I said. Yeah. It's very confusing. You got to try to catch up.
Yeah.
But Mickie James, I think it could be a Hall of Fame nod or them telling her, you know, let's kind of mend these fences now. I don't think that someone was saying that they don't have enough girls. I guess, but couldn't they just, there is, it's a Royal Rumble. It's an easy in and out exit. They can get any developmental to just go in there and be cannon fodder for the more known girls. It's 30 spots. How short are they on girls, Mish?
Yeah.
Do you think it has anything to do with not enough women or not enough notable names?
Well, they're going to be bringing up a lot of the girls from NXT as well. We know this, you know, but I honestly think that there's more than enough girls on, you know, the independents or even girls that previously worked for WWE. I mean, they brought back Summer Rae,
is coming back.
She was the first one to leak it, which she wasn't supposed to, of course, but
I heard about that.
Leaked it first, and her post was kind of funny because it was full of genuine emotion because she was just, you know, oh my gosh, like I can't believe that they chose me, like wow, thank you very much for the love. And it's, so, you know, that's cool. And there's more than enough women and talented, you know, veterans of WWE women's division to come back and fill that role, you know? And I mean, we brought up Molly Holly. I even brought up Kong. I'm like, yes, I know Kong retired, Jazz retired, but coming back for a cup of coffee to work one event for WWE, not out of the wheelhouse. Let's be honest.
I mean, listen, they did the gimmick battle royal many years ago, and a lot of guys came out of retirement. It's just a payday, but it's a chance to be on a grander stage in front of fans again after the COVID thing.
It's a fun thing. It's not like they're getting ready for this long feud. It's not like they're going to be on the road for 300 days. They're doing one date in front of a whole bunch of fans that are going to pop like crazy just to see these people back.
Right. And listen, I also think there is a factor that if they get a big enough reaction and make a spot in the Rumble and the fans pop, and it's one of the things that is a shown clip thereafter that trends right. on social media, maybe you can get another gig out of it. You know, okay. WWE has done that before. You saw with Carlito, remember?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
They did with Carlito, Torrey Wilson,
Shelton.
Shelton Benjamin.
Who is still there on Mondays. So,
yeah, it can happen. It can absolutely happen. And I think, yeah, you got to think like that. I mean, it would be weird for anybody to turn it down. You know, you'd have to have a really valid excuse to turn it down if you're someone who's a legend or whatever. Even maybe Medusa, bring her back and, Medusa's a name. She's been right. mid-50s, but she could do a Royal Rumble spot.
Right, exactly. And I mean, they mentioned 19 of them. Obviously, the Bells were more people that were picked out. Lita, of course, is another name picked out of that.
No Trish yet. I don't know if Trish is going to do it this year.
You know what? I'd be okay if she wasn't. I think there's other people that they can pick up. They don't always have to pick up the same ones, you know? Like, I'm just saying that there's...
Kelly Kelly's in it, right? Again.
Yeah, Kelly Kelly.
Kelly Kelly's. I think Summer Rae.
They can't all be winners, Kev.
I know. Summer Rae, I thought was like a professional, just go to a beach resort model.
Yeah.
From what I'm hearing, she works for a talent agency.
Yeah.
Like kind of representing celebrities and stuff. So that's why she's always jet setting all over the place. So Summer Rae, I think, has a pretty good job.
Yeah, she does a lot of Instagram posing. She does a lot of modeling and stuff like that. Obviously, yeah. People forget that Summer Rae did come from like lingerie football and. You know, she
looks a lot different though now.
She got a nose fixed.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, she does look different.
I don't know if that's like in print, like that's public. But I mean, if you look at her now, you'll immediately notice. Yeah. She changed the hair color. She's actually toned up a lot. I mean, if you check out her abs and stuff like that, she's rocking a six pack. And I was like, wow. Okay. Oh,
she definitely is. So, yeah. And listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with the Royal Rumble getting people from outside the box. It's a yearly event.
Sure.
And it should be something where you can see bring back maybe Tennille Dashwood or somebody like that.
Eve Torres. Others. Absolutely. And that's what I kind of look forward to with Rumble. Those are the fun things about the Royal Rumble is when you see all these random talents that you haven't seen in a while. Geez, when Mr. Perfect showed up way back in the day, what was it, like 2002?
2002. Yeah, you were correct.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, that blew my mind. Because we were written to believe that once you're gone.
Kevin Nash coming out as Diesel.
Yeah.
The time. Putting the glove on when he's coming out of the exit and he's putting the glove on. Everyone went crazy.
Yeah, it blew my mind. You don't expect these guys to come back, but Royal Rumble is the time when a lot of people fucking do. You know,
it's true. But I got to say, the great Kabuki didn't get the pop. 25 years ago in 95. I really thought Kabuki. I'm like, I was going crazy when I saw him at home. That's Kabuki. I'm like, what are you people sitting on your hands for? It's Kabuki.
So the Royal Rumble is definitely something that we're all looking forward to. And like we said earlier, it's like this is January. This is our Christmas. This is when wrestling starts to amp up. And not just WWE. AEW is going to bring the smoke. You know, Impact is going to bring the smoke. NWA, I would not be surprised. You know, obviously ROH is supposedly already planning things for around Mania weekend, even though they're technically in limbo at the moment. So the idea is everything's going to get to Mania. This is the big show, not just for WWE, but for everybody involved. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, man. And I mean, regardless of all the rumors about WWE shutting down and shutting doors and firing people left and right, you know, I don't think that this is something that the company is falling apart on and looking for somebody to buy them out. I think this is all part of some grandiose plan that behind the scenes we really don't know about, other than the fact that Nick Khan point blank said, we're looking to grow. We're looking to make more money. We're looking to try new avenues and do new things. And when he hit on the international stuff, it only goes to prove the point because those international shows have made them a lot of money. With that said, we've got Crown Jewel, or I'm not sure if it's going to be called Crown Jewel. February 19th. Here we go.
There you go.
The Saudi Arabia pay-per-view.
So it's on a Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be on a Saturday. It's February the 19th.
Okay.
WWE is returning there, obviously, because it makes them money. We don't really know what the rumored matches are, but I think D'Antoni was saying that he was going to see the Usos versus the Dudleys. And
really?
Oh, yeah, wow. That's what he's predicting. And I was kind of trying to ask him more about that, but he was a little vague on it. But the other match that's going to be that he believes is going to be Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar title for title. He's not sure about that one either, but that would be an interesting place to do it. That would be a very big match to get a lot of people, a lot of Saudis in to watch that match there, you know, and to get us to watch it live too. So,
oh yeah, I'll definitely be watching. Yeah. Hopefully I'm working, but I'll be watching.
Oh yeah. Well, we all hope you're working.
Me too.
But yeah, other than that, I'm trying to think of what else we have to cover here.
The Cornette thing I had mentioned.
Oh, yes.
This has been going on, we figured, what, about a week now?
Yeah, it feels like it.
This has been going on about, as you know, Kenny Omega, just a day ago at this point, only 24 hours ago, to a follow-up, because I'm sure you covered it already on another show, but Kenny Omega had dropped Cornette's name a few days ago and something, and berating Cornette's following and certain WWE fans that he doesn't care if they're fans of his, kind of a thing like that.
Yeah.
Well, Cornette's name up. Cornette really didn't respond. Well, he did respond. Cornette responded on January 9th with the Twinkle Toes thing and this. But Kenny Omega had said something after that that Jim only responded to this morning as we're recording this show on Tuesday. Kenny had brought up that he shouldn't have brought up. He was talking about Jim's breathiness when he talks on the air. And he doubled back and thought about it and probably said, you know, God forbid Jim gets COVID, I'm going to look like a real heel here.
Yeah.
So he said, I shouldn't have brought up this Kenny Omega, he said yesterday, shouldn't have brought up any breathing issue. I, as well as have many friends and acquaintances in other sports who are suffering due to COVID after effects. Not sure if you'll accept, but I do apologize to Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette responded this morning. He didn't respond yesterday. It was people didn't think Jim was going to respond. He did. Early this morning, he said, hold on a second. Oh, my God.
Here, let me go through the full thing real quick. I'll start from the beginning. I'll read off the actual tweets. So the initial of this tweet was Kenny Omega and this one guy, Matt Rice Smith, who were going back and forth on Twitter. At some point, you know, he did bring up Jim Cornette, but this was at the same time that Kenny Omega accused this guy of being a pedophile.
Oh, yeah, and, that's right. Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, he's like, you have a picture of some kid up there that you probably try to invite into a van or some bullshit like that. And this dude's like, that's my kid. That's my daughter. And Kenny Omega doubles down and goes, yeah, sure. You know, the boys are going to love you in the slammer, you know, in prison and shit like that. Yeah. So it was pretty gross of Kenny. Like, look, I understand that you get into a heated debate and you say some weird shit, but immediately accusing this guy of the picture, you know, of his kid's picture and his profile as being, you know, like some kind of
pedophile,
rape victim is just, that was off. And then that's when Jim Cornette stepped in, because in the middle of this fucking Kenny Omega rant, he drops Jim Cornette's name, saying that, will you bump up Corny's oxygen so he can maybe get through a podcast without wheezing through every word? It's harsh on the ears from what I hear. And the reason he was saying that was because he was accusing this guy of being a Jim Cornette follower, a Cornette fan and stuff like that. And Jim Cornette responded and he said, not sure why Twinkle Toes is referencing me in a completely unrelated conversation I'm not involved in, which is totally true, but he needs hobbies and attention. Hey, dipshit. I'm not as harsh on the ears as your ballet routines are on people's eyes, and I'm wheezing from laughing at your attempts to wrestle. To which this, this goes further, and Kenny Omega, obviously a day later, because now this is on January 10th, Kev, he says, you know, I shouldn't have brought up any breathing issue. I, as well as many friends and acquaintances in other sports, are suffering due to COVID after effects. Not sure if you'll accept, but I do apologize. So after Kenny had some time to cool the fuck off, he realized that, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have fucking said that. And then, you know, Jim Cornette, in Jim Cornette fashion, responded 7 hours ago. And he said, piss off with your phony apology bullshit, turd blossom. I've never had COVID. I don't want to have any interaction with you and your phony wrestling. And I don't have any breathing issues except when you're on the air. I refuse to breathe it.
Oh, God, that's great.
I mean, look, Jim Cornette's not wrong. Kenny should not have dropped him like that, especially in the same thread that he's trying to accuse a dude of being a pedophile. Like, it was a weird day for Kenny Omega.
Yeah, I mean, Cornette is unwavering with his dislike and resentment. I don't know if it's hate, don't use the word hate, but for Kenny Omega, he's got nothing for him, and that doesn't surprise me. I think people thought, since the post Kenny issued that statement yesterday, Cornette never responded to it, that Cornette's just going to not bother. But, yeah, he responded.
No. Yeah, he responded. Jason.
He did. Yeah, no, he doesn't accept the apology. And Jim kind of got, you know, lambasted by a bunch of people. He was like, oh, come on, the guy apologized. You know, when is Cornette's kind of being a baby about it? He doesn't like the guy. I think Cornette's, you know, when Cornette doesn't like you, he doesn't like you. And I don't think there is any patching up. He's not interested in that. And there are people like that. They don't, they're not interested.
Was he wrong? Is Jim Cornette wrong? Let's put, and I don't want to put you directly in it, but let's put you in the situation that somebody pissed you off like this and called you out for no fucking reason. And you didn't accept the apology. Is that the right thing or the wrong thing to do in this scenario?
No, I probably wouldn't accept either, because I'm like, what are you bringing me up for? And especially if someone who had no contact with you or doing nothing to you and just trying to, and then saying about COVID. Jim Cornette said, I don't have COVID. What are you talking about?
Right.
So it's like, that's like a double-edged sword. You first insulted me, insulted the fan base that follows me, then questioned my health because of some breath. And obviously you're listening to the show, which Weird's probably calling out even more. Like, how does he know? Like, right. I thought he doesn't listen to me and Brian. So it's a, like, it's kind of a mixed message of bullshit. I think Kenny went to an easy one because he knows his fan base doesn't like Jim, and Jim's fan base doesn't like him. So, you know, those two battling it out. But, yeah, just Kenny Omega, that was his bad on that one. And Jim is not accepting. Doesn't surprise me, knowing Jim Cornette like we do. He's unwavering about people he doesn't like, and he's not willing to bend an inch.
Right. Right. And I, you know what? I kind of respect that.
That's just him. That's him.
I don't mind old man screaming at clouds sometimes, because you know what? You shouldn't have to accept somebody's apology just because they apologize. I always think that that's just so disingenuous. Oh, man. But, yeah, we got tonight, NXT. We're going to see AJ versus Waller, especially after last night's little back and forth that they had with Waller attacking after the Austin Idol match. That was all right.
You know, if Grayson Waller had an American accent or was from this country, this would be a much bigger thing. I think, if anything, I don't know. I mean, Drew McIntyre kind of shattered that mode, that Vince will put the belt on someone not from here.
Yeah.
You know, he's put it on Canadians really don't count because they're just basically cousins to America. Hop, skip, and a jump. You know, so it's a little bit different. This is overseas people. Vince has never been big on accents. So if Grayson Waller was like some frat boy straight out of the Midwest, I think he would probably get over a lot better.
Yeah.
Even though that people are claiming he's getting over well, I guess by critics, he's okay. I mean, the TikTok thing, again, it's a new generation. That's a young person's thing. I'm sure some of my younger cousins, my teenage cousins, could probably, you know, tell me how big. I know TikTok is big. I'm never on there. I don't care about it.
Right.
But it's not, we talk about this, it's not for our age group.
Right.
You know, the 40, 50 somethings.
Absolutely.
But NXT is supposed to go younger. Yeah, AJ's doing the honors, I think, as an older veteran. And I don't think AJ is remotely having one more run with the world title in this company. I think he's not going to be fodder for young people, but I think he's going to help get some guys over and be kind of that guy, kind of what Rob Van Dam was in Impact. You know, AJ is not old. He's 44, I think. Yeah. Does he have, again, this one more run thing that everybody always does? Yeah, I'm sure he does have one more run, but I don't know if WWE sees him that way. And I don't know if AJ, we don't know until someone leaves the company how they feel about these things.
Right.
I think he maybe lost a step. If Grayson Waller flat out pins him with no chicanery, I'm going to be like, whoa, they're transitioning maybe AJ for an office spot or something. Mm. Like, wow, straight up pinned. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Grayson Waller doesn't really have any allies with anybody. Does he have someone who's going to come in, a new person who's going to jump him, a valet maybe, some girl from TikTok that they're going to put a new gimmick? I'm interested to see how this works out tonight. But if it's a straight-up clean pin, then I think something's going on there with AJ. Well, maybe he's in agreement to this. Let me help get some guys over. Listen, some veterans have done that before.
Yeah.
No. It's not always we're trying to fuck over AJ. Again, well, we really don't know. We don't know until we know, but I'm definitely interested to see how this goes tonight.
That side of it, I have no doubt about. I think AJ and Grayson Waller will definitely carry the show. I think it'll be good. I just, regardless of what his TikTok followers say, you know, so.
TikTok.
But yeah, dude, I think that pretty much covers the entire week that we've gotten so far. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to. We got Dynamite on Wednesday coming up too, and NXT tomorrow night, or tonight, sorry, not tomorrow night. And then we got Soup on Thursday, and then everything goes back to next week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, looking forward. Again, I just look forward to wrestling from escapism, because there's a lot of stress right now with other things going on. So I'm watching wrestling for the right reasons, for entertainment and escapism. I'm not going to stress myself out watching wrestling. That's wrestling's a positive thing for me.
Yes.
You know, so I don't look at it as my guy. If AJ loses tonight, I'm going to go. You watch what I write on Twitter, Mish. if he loses, he loses. I'll say, wow, AJ did the honors. That's what I'll say. That's pretty going to be cut and dry.
Yeah.
Again, I have my favorites like everybody else does. Just like what happened with Cross, I take things and I like kind of his attitude too. There's other things that come out of this. Some good comes out of bad, and just stay tuned. And if you're a fan, stay for the whole ride. You're not just there for the good times.
Absolutely.
This Thursday night, KNT Chronicles over on the DTKC Patreon. So you can sign up now if you haven't signed up yet. Do a live show on Discord, live chat, always a lot of fun, 10 p.m. NYC time. You can check that out. And then in the mainstream, a brand new episode of Castle and Chicky podcast adventure should be dropping this week, tomorrow or so. We get into a whole tribute because it just happened in real time the day before. And me and Chicky decided to dedicate a entire show to the career and a retrospective on Bob Saget, who we both were big fans of. And there was a lot to go over. And it was a really good show. I think it was one of our best shows we've ever done. Hmm. And it was done on a day's notice because we had a whole other show planned for that day that we moved back to commemorate Bob Saget and the situation that happened there. So that's going to be dropping on Spreaker iHeart this week. So look for it.
Very cool. Much love to everybody. Thank you very much for supporting us on Patreon. Joe and I dropped the Frank and Gus. And we put up the Q&A section for the shitbox that we'll probably have coming up later on this week or maybe even next week. So make sure you guys follow that. Much love and support to everybody that supports the show, from Ledge Wrestling Podcast, False Count Radio, RCWR, et cetera, et cetera. We will see you guys on Thursday. Peace.
Peace.